Good evening, everybody. Tonight, it's my great pleasure to welcome you all to Presentation House Gallery and Theater. We're in the theater right now, our sister organization. The gallery is, of course, upstairs where you've just come from, part of the cultural center in this building that was initially built in 1902, and it seems apropos that we're in such an historic place. My name is Reed Shire. I'm the director of Presentation House Gallery. It's a real pleasure for us to be here tonight. I'd just like to mention that in about a year's time, the gallery will be moving to a new location. So the exhibition that we're seeing tonight is going to be one of the last ones in this building. And we're very privileged to be building a much-needed new space. So I'm sure you could acknowledge that this building has seen its better days, but it has been a great home for us. And in a year and a half, we'll be moving to the Polygon Gallery, which we're developing right now at the foot of Lonsdale Avenue, and will be a very exciting and very welcome new feature in the cultural landscape of British Columbia, in which I invite you to come and visit in, well, hopefully 18 months' time. Until that time, we continue to program here, and as I said, it's a real, real privilege to be with you all here tonight. We're presenting Nanitch, Early Photographs of British Columbia from the Langman Collection. Spanning a 60-year period from the 1860s to the early 1920s, this groundbreaking exhibition reveals the dramatic changes occurring in the years that the province of British Columbia was being established, and importantly, how and in what way photography became a very important and constituent part of that project. The word Nanitch means to look in Chinook jargon. Tonight we invite you to take a remarkable look back to a time and a period when the role of the photographer and the uses of photography were themselves being invented. I'd like to take a moment to acknowledge Helga Pakasar, the curator of Presentation House Gallery, and one of the co-organizers of tonight's exhibition. Helga is right up there. And Helga and I will both be available in the gallery space after tonight's presentation to answer any questions and to speak further about any thoughts you may have about the exhibit and tonight's lecture and talk. And now I would like to introduce Ingrid Parent, University Librarian and your host for this evening's presentation, the Uno Langman Family Collection of BC Photographs. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Reed, and good evening, everyone, and welcome. Thank you for coming to this very special event tonight. As Reed said, I am the University Librarian at UBC. I've been there since 2009, and prior to that, I was the Assistant Deputy Minister for Documentary Heritage at Library and Archives Canada in Ottawa. So I do have a special place in my heart for history and for heritage. And I'm also a proud alumna of UBC, having graduated in history and in library science many years ago, and I hate to say those numbers because that's really too long ago. So I guess I do have a lot of history in me. So tonight's presentation is part of the Uniquely UBC series, which aims to share UBC's intellectual and cultural riches with you, our most generous supporters, providing you with experiences that illustrate the impact of your philanthropic investments are having on our university, in our communities in Vancouver, in the Okanagan, in BC, and of course, all around the world. And so, as was so profoundly demonstrated through UBC's recently concluded Start an Evolution campaign, UBC enjoys some of the most generous alumni and friends. You have supported the university through many milestones, helping to shape and achieve the goals of the institution, and for that we are really, truly grateful. As you probably know, this year also marks the centennial of UBC and UBC Library. The library was there right from day one. It's a century that we're celebrating when we welcomed the first class of 379 students in September 1915. UBC Centennial is a year-long program of initiatives marking 100 years of learning, research, innovation, and community engagement. The exhibit you see tonight has been supported in part by UBC Centennial funding. And over that time, UBC is proud to have graduated more than 300,000 students, graduates from our Point Grey and Okanagan campuses, who are making real positive change in BC, in Canada, and around the world. So in honor of this once-in-a-century anniversary, I'd like to draw your attention to the screen for a short video presentation.
There are few earthly things more beautiful and splendid than a university.
There are few universities that can claim to have grown to the stature of UBC in such a short span of time.
Of the University of British Columbia to be located where one of the world's most important traditions began and flowered.
At this significant milestone, we should acknowledge and praise those who founded the university.
You accepted traditions and became part of traditions.
Every last citizen is, in fact, a part owner. And this is without doubt what the founders had in mind when they chose for the university motto, Tuum Est, it is yours.
It is a place where those who hate ignorance may strive to know, where those who perceive truth may strive to make others see.
That we may indeed be the people's university, that is the spirit on which this university was founded, and it still lives and survives on this great campus today.
Great to see some of those images. Many of them come from our archives in the library, and we're really pleased to support the celebration of the whole centennial year. We're going to publicly close our look back at the last 100 years by looking forward to the future on May 28th with UBC 100, What's Next? A day filled with festivities, free admission to attractions on campus, and a series of talks exploring the future in a whole range of academic fields. So without question, you are an integral part of UBC's past, present, and future. So thank you very much for your support. So for tonight's presentation and exhibit, I will be introducing Dr. Una Langman in a few minutes, but I'd just like to say that here with us tonight, there are several members of his family who have come along to support him. Diane Langman, Uno's wife, Jeanette Langman and Alistair Johnston, Uno's daughter and son-in-law, and two big fellas over there, Benjamin and Nicholas Johnston, who are Uno's grandchildren. So welcome. Thank you for coming. So tonight is a perfect example of the kind of thoughtful and generous support that UBC is so fortunate to enjoy. In 2014, Uno and Diane Langman and Uno Langman Limited gifted UBC their extensive collection of early BC historical photographs. This collection, evaluated at $1.2 million, is remarkable in both content and context. Consisting of more than 18,000 rare and unique early images from the 1850s to the 1970s, it is considered the premier private collection of early provincial photos and an important illustrated history of early photographic methods. So Dr. Uno Langmann was born in Copenhagen, Denmark in 1935. He started his collecting career by collecting coins when he was 8. In 1955, aided by proceeds from the sale of some of those coins, he came to Vancouver via a one-way ticket. In 1967, he opened his first gallery, the Cedar Cottage. Within 3 years, he purchased the Century House building on Richards Street, one of Vancouver's first heritage buildings. In 1977, Uno Langmann Limited Fine Arts moved to its present location on Granville Street. His internationally recognized gallery offers the finest quality European and North American paintings from the 18th, 19th, and 20th centuries. UBC has recognized the value of Dr. Langmann's work by awarding him the Doctor of Laws honoris causa in 2015. In his acceptance speech, Dr. Langmann noted his choice of profession, being a collector, was guided by a love for history. With a personal collection of books containing over 12,000 titles, his donation to UBC was fueled by the sincere belief that the library is the backbone of any university, and that this special collection would help support research and elevate UBC's reputation as a world-class institution. Dr. Langmann is a member of UBC Library's External Library Advisory Board. He's an influential leader in his field, and he's renowned for his knowledge, preservation, and promotion of arts and culture. So I'm so pleased to be here this evening to share with you one of the most spectacular collections of photographic material ever assembled to document BC's history. So please join me in welcoming Dr. Uno Langmann to the stage.
Thank you very much, Ingrid.
Okay, so now we're going to have a conversation. And first of all, I just want to ask, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling great.
You must be very proud to have your collection shown so well here.
Yes, it was. It's a highlight for me to see it, just a small section of it out here.
Because there's so many more images that are in the collection, but we can only show a small part, right? So.
And there are more to come.
Oh, that's nice to know. Okay. All right. So I'd like to ask you just to start the conversation. The title tonight's event, which is Nanitch, alludes to your avid history in collecting. And in one of your earlier media interviews, you remarked that we are only curators in our lifetime. So what inspired you to be a collector over the past 4 decades? And how did you find some of these treasures that we see upstairs?
Well, when I immigrated in 1955, I came straight to Vancouver, and I decided that was going to be my home. And shortly after, I think it was in 1957, I was up in northern British Columbia installing some pipelines in the Beaten River District, and there was we were driving through a Beaten River Indian band, and they were living like in the 19th century. And then about a year later, I was in Vancouver, and I met a gentleman out in the Dunbar District, and in the basement he had a lot of Indian artifacts, and we got to talk, and he said, you know, I said, why did you collect those? And he said, well, when I was born in British Columbia, and he was about 80-some years old at the time, so he would have been born in the 1870s. And he said, when I was 10 years old, I was went with my father on the ferry to Nanaimo. And as we came close to Nanaimo, I saw some canoes going north, and as the ferry slowed down, he asked his father, "What is this?" And the father said, "You'll see when they come close." And they came in close, and it was the Haida Indians going north after they had been raiding down in the San Juan Islands and taking slaves. I realized at that time, that was in 1958, I realized that all this happened in man's memory. And I decided at that time that we had to start collecting, you know, the evidence, because to me, a picture is worth a thousand words. You know, I bought a book by Alexander Beck about British Columbia history, and I read that, but you could visualize some of the things, but you couldn't really get into how it really was. Mm-hmm. Not until you saw photographs of things happening. So that's when I really started.
So you think photographs are more true to the facts than books or memory even?
Well, you know, when we read a book, we let our brain search around and make pictures in our mind, but they're never right. Mm. Or very seldom.
That's true. We embellish things, I know. Okay. And what? How did you find some of the collectible treasures other than the man in the canoe?
Well, in the beginning, I was buying, when I started my antique store, I started buying early photographs because they were interesting, and I was selling them. But then I was in Edinburgh, and I saw an album which was connected to the War of the Pigs that the Royal Navy had with the Americans on San Juan Island. Mm-hmm. They had a camp on either side. They both claimed San Juan Island, which actually was settled, the dispute between Great Britain and America was settled by the German Kaiser eventually.
Right. Yes.
So when I saw that album, I said, this has to come to British Columbia, and this has to be preserved.
Mm-hmm. That's very noble. Well, it's good to see that.
That was the beginning.
That's just the beginning, I know. Yeah. I think your collection has already been used for research and teaching at the university. And I know that one of the courses taught by Professor John O'Brien, he's from the Department of Art History, he called it Photo Fever and the Uno Langman Archive. And it encouraged students to critically think about how photographs and archives raise questions about how the memory functions. So what fascinated you about the photography medium as opposed to artists or canvases? Why photography?
Well, prior to photography being invented in the 1830s, the British officers were all trained in doing drawings and watercolors, mm-hmm. especially because they had to depict the scenes that they ran into. At the end of a battle, they had to explain why they lost 10,000 people or why mm-hmm. they didn't lose, but they won. So back in London, they wanted to see what had really happened, so they used the officers to do it. And in the beginning, when I started the business, I bought a lot of those early watercolors. I would find them all over Great Britain and in Ireland. We found a lot because a lot of the early military people came to Canada were from Scotland and even from Ireland. So once they retired, they would take home the things that they had painted from the colonies at the time.
That's right.
We must remember that in 18, you know, some of the photographs we have here, like the first album I had, which was around 1860, some of the British Columbia's closest neighbor was really the Russia, because the Panhandle belonged to Russia until 1862, when America bought it for $7.2 million, But prior to that, we had the Russia as a neighbor. So, you know, it happened within, so the gentleman I talked to who had gone to Victoria, I mean, it was shortly after Russia gave up Alaska. So, you know, it all happened at the time. The photographs of that period are so incredible, important.
Are. Right, right.
In the exhibition in here, there's an album with the surveying of the Alaska border, which was done in 93, I think. But that was up to that point, there was no real border.
I think photos are the sort of the evidence of what was the case many, many years ago.
Yeah. So,
and you can't change those photographs. They didn't have Photoshop in those days. So, you know, they're really the true depiction of what was there. Okay, so if preservation of history is so important, and it belongs to a lot of cultural institutions, libraries and archives, museums, but you chose a library to donate and to house your collections. So,
well, that came very easy because a lot of the photographs that I was buying, I bought some of them at auction, and a lot of them had been deaccessioned by museums. So if museums weren't looking after the history, I knew that it had to go to a library.
Mm-hmm.
So a library, that's where you go to do research. And I think the collection that I gave you and that I'm giving you more of...
You heard that,
is,
right? Good.
You know, will prove that it needs an awful lot of research still, because I didn't have the time to do the research of the paint, all the photographs. So I knew they were important when I saw what was on them, but I didn't have the time to do the research.
There's so much to discover with each image, you know. You think you see it, but then there's little details that you didn't even realize were there. So I think that is really interesting.
Yeah, well, some of the photographs look completely different from the exposure that the photographer gave to the plate, and I know eventually it'll all be seen, but there are three photographs of the same subject, and they look completely different from the exposure that was given to the positive by the photographer.
Okay. So I think maybe we could ask you then, what are some of the favorite items in the collection, and why do you pick them?
Well, because they're slightly different. Yeah, this one here is one of them. That is the Bonaparte band of Indians up in the Fraser Canyon. And at the time, they had they first attacked the miners who came up and started digging in their ground. And they killed, I think, five miners before peace was established. But this is one of the bands. But I didn't realize how important... This is done by Gentile, who was one of the first photographers to come to BC in about 1860. He advertised, and I gave you a newspaper along with it from Victoria, where he was advertising himself as a photographer. But I didn't realize until I saw the positive that the National Archives in Ottawa has... And it was slightly different. And it showed the rider on the right-hand side. He was further out. So I realized at that point that the photographer had to have taken two plates not to lose this incredible picture that he had assembled. Everybody is there. And they're all told to stay still. You can see the horse moving slightly.
The horse is moving.
And this person over here is moving a little bit. But on the one that they have in the archives, it is quite a bit different. The horse is not there. It's coming in from the side. So I knew that there was two images taken. And at the time, they had to, the photographer had to carry those big glass plates on the back of a horse all the way up to the caribou. And in order to, if he broke one, that was it. He couldn't take a picture.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a big responsibility to, first of all, keep your glass unbroken, and then secondly, he didn't want to lose the image. So he took two, just to make sure.
And they're
like
different.
We today.
Yeah.
Take two pictures, or three, or four.
Or 10 or 20, digital camera now. Yeah,
well,
it's
at that
easy.
Time, it was a lot harder to do.
These big plates.
The cameras were big, bulky cameras. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it must have been incredible to carry that equipment over mountains and water and take pictures.
They could only sail up to Yale, and from Yale you had to go cross-country. And so when I came in 55, too, and we were driving up the canyon, people used to go up from Vancouver and go up to Spencer's Bridge. And if you went up on a weekend, you could drive cars back for the Americans who were too scared to drive them back again. Yeah, that friends of mine did that. But at a certain place the falls up north of Hope, Hell's Gate. There you were driving actually over the river. You were driving on planks, and the river was right below you, and you looked through the planks. So, I mean, that was the way it was.
And you're still here, so that's good. It was all right.
Yeah, it was about 100 yards or so where you were actually driving around a point, and you were driving and looking right down in the river.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. So I think there's some more. There's another one.
Oh, yeah, this is another one. This is, I think, by Leeson. But you can see how it shows a native wedding. But you can see the importance that the people put to it, because they made a basketry frame for it, which out of... I think it's cedar root.
Cedar root. And it is upstairs, this one.
It is
here,
yeah. So that's one that shows the enjoyment that the family, or the importance that they put to the photograph.
And
this one here.
This one of my favorites.
Yeah. This is out in Trout Lake, just about where I started my first antique store in Cedar Cottage, which was the first stop on the interurban line to Chilliwack. And this is Trout Lake, and this shows the Duke of Cornwall and his wife skating on Trout Lake in 1901 or 1902. So that just shows how things have changed.
Does the lake freeze anymore or not?
Well, it probably does the odd times, but not to this extent.
Oh, yes. It must be deep, too.
And
well,
you wouldn't see a dignitary coming and bringing the skates and going out.
That's true.
That's just three. But you know what? They're all my favorites. There's not one of them in there that is not hasn't been my favorite when I purchase them. It's just like collecting anything. You see something and say, this is important. So I think I ought to own that or make sure that it gets a good home. So
that's true. Good. Now, just one last question. You mentioned it's important to discover the images, to discover things about them. And at UBC Library, we've digitized this collection. So the images are online for everyone to enjoy. But there was an example that we just came across about a discovery made in Nelson. And I wonder if you could just mention that.
Well, the discovery was made at UBC by a gentleman from Victoria. And I only found out about it about a week ago. And if you Google the Uno Langman and then / Nelson Star, you will get three articles about an album that they discovered in your collection that it changed the history in Nelson, because they saw, they actually did a very interesting thing. They took your photographs and they could see the contour of the mountains, and then they took photographs today until they found the same locale, and then they could place exactly where it had been taken. In today's, and they actually, there's I think they put it on the web. There's a little showing the different.
It's a video, right?
Yeah, yes. A video showing uh-huh. the different. Uh-huh. And what a wonderful thing. I mean, that was probably my biggest joy when I saw that, because I saw that your collection is being used.
That's right. And I think the power of digitization and having things available for free, I think, really makes a difference, for sure.
Well, that was, you know, what we first decided between us, you know, that it had to be all digitized.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there'll be discoveries made in the albums from now till...
Another 100 years.
Yeah, probably.
Thank you. So we have some time for questions from the audience. And there's a microphone that will, I think... Yes, there's one here and one at the back so far. Yeah.
In the 1960s, I worked for Granada Television in Manchester. Can you hear me?
Yes.
In the mid-1960s, I worked for Granada Television, and one of the people, one of the men that I worked for was a man called Gerald Dinever. He sadly committed suicide a few years later. But he said one thing to me that I've never, ever forgotten. And he said, photography, the photographs that come from the wars, are more important than the war itself. Can you understand that?
Yeah, I feel the same. I feel that that is definitely... I think that the pictures we see from the war times ought to stop any war. That's the only way that war will ever be stopped, is by seeing those pictures, what people go through. I mean, part of the reason for me coming to Canada was... That was at the peak of the Cold War, and we in Denmark, we didn't know from day to day whether Russia was going to war run us or not. And their jets could go from one side of Denmark to the other in 15 minutes, and we couldn't even get anything in the air. So, you know, I came to Canada because of war. We went through the Second World War, and... I think that the images that we see from war ought to stop war.
Thank you. Question here.
Yes, I'm looking at the pictures in this book which you have given us, and I see two that have color. And I wonder if something was done to the two pictures that have color, actual pink color on them. Was something done to them after?
Yeah, they were colored by watercolor, and that was quite a common thing. As a matter of fact, in this, we don't have very many of the famous Canadian photographer, Nutman, who hired a lot of Canadian artists. Sandham, Bill Smith, and there was about 10 of them, O'Brien, Way, and they were hired by Nutman to color the photographs. But at the same time, they were photographers, and they were actually, some of their photographs are so incredible, well taken, that the... there are photographs and photographs, like seeing the Indian band sitting up. That's a big thing to get all that together. But when you balance a photograph by saying, I want this really beautiful, I want it well balanced with the mountain in the back and the horse in the foreground, and then those photographs are just incredible. Some of the artists, the Canadian artists, watercolor artists, that took those. But they were hired, actually, to color the photographs.
What years would that be?
Oh, that was in the 1870s, 80s, 90s.
Wow.
Yeah, Leeson is one. You'll see quite a few in there that have the color.
Okay, other questions? Yes.
Are you pressed?
anything either historically important or beautiful. Yeah. Usually I love to see a photograph that is well balanced, but when you're dealing with history, it doesn't have to be well balanced. It just has to show something specific. But there were great photographers in British Columbia, early British Columbia, as there were great painters too.
But you also travel the world to find these photographs, right?
Yeah, the photographs, I bought BC photographs in England, Scotland, Ireland, California, New York, you name it. I mean, any place, wherever you find it. And when you hear about an album, like the one, the Gentile album, had been inside, if you notice that the corners had been cut with a scissor, well, they thought they were a little bit tattered, so they cut the corners off. But then they only survived because they had been inside a Bible. And that was found in Ontario. And another album, the Dali album, yeah, that came from Ontario too. Quite a bit turned up in Ontario.
Oh, interesting.
But they're not cheap anymore.
That's why the library doesn't buy any anymore. We look to generous donors.
Any other
questions?
You probably have, but I didn't. I must admit that I bought them and I stacked them and I had them all in one room and they were just one big mess because I didn't have the time to do the proper thing. But you have to watch, especially film, you have to have watch the temperature on the film or it can catch fire.
That's true. I can attest to that. I saw his room with these photographs. There were shoeboxes full of photographs and things, but they all survived. They're wonderful, and we do keep them in temperature-controlled conditions in the library. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I just say, here they are, over to you.
So, we still have time for one more question, so...
You can ask me a question.
Can I ask you a question still? I don't know. Yeah, I could. How would you like people to learn about BC history from these photographs? How would you want them to interpret what you see?
Well, I think just like that gentleman in Victoria who discovered the album in your collection and wrote to Nelson Starr and said, here's an album, you know, dig mm-hmm. into it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the only way. It's a word of mouth. And as I say, I hope that people will go use the university for that. That's why we insisted on the digitizing of everything. I don't think there's any other institution that has done that.
Oh, several, I think, libraries are digitizing, but I think we know that is the way to make sure that what we have is used. You know, we can't just store it away. So I think that's a wonderful intention.
And I would like to point out that, and I keep on calling it British Columbia, and we are calling it British Columbia, but I really like to include Yukon in it because... A lot of what I gave you are related to the gold rush in Klondike, gold rush mm-hmm. in the Yukon,
mm-hmm.
by Haig and all of the important photographers at that time. And
that's a big part of our history, for sure.
Yeah, that's all part of our history.
Yeah. All right, I think that would probably do it. Oh, one more question. Yay.
What kind of a camera do you use?
Oh, a digital camera. Awful.
Your wife's camera.
Yeah, my wife's camera.
It's historic, though. It's okay. Good. Anyway, I just want to say, you know, thank you so much for sharing your stories and your insights with us, and also, you know, making us understand our history so much better with this collection. Your generosity has just been fantastic, and, you know, I want everyone to have a look at it. The fact it's digitized and we can share them, I think, is something that will benefit everybody in this room, but also in the province and around the world. And it's so... The passion that you have, I think, just comes through. And so I just want to thank you so much. And I heard that there is more coming, so I'm really pleased to hear that.
Well,
so it's been a truly unique experience. Thank you so much, Uno. Thank you.
You're welcome.